then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
To Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for the children's chat? If not, all of you are my children. So, because I brought something today. In honor of Father's Day, I have brought a picture. I'm going to show it to all of you. Probably looks like something many of you have on your walls. Old-time photograph of a group of people. Not too exciting, maybe. Now, why am I showing you this picture? Who are these people?
Young people.
At one time, they were.
Are you in that picture? In the middle and the front?
That's really interesting for you to say.
Or is that your mom?
No. This is my dad's family. All of them. This is my dad and his brothers and sisters. There were 12 of them. So which one do you think is my dad? I'll let you guess later. I'll put this up and let you guess. So yes, my dad was one of 12 children. His mother was 14 years old when she got married. She married a man who was almost twice her age. He was 13 years older than she. So she had her first child when she was 15 and continued to have children for a very long time, as you can see. And you think back to that, because that 14-year-old and that older man got married and had all of these children, there are so many more of us today. And yeah, I do look a lot like my aunt. The one you're pointing out is my aunt Annie. Her name was Anne, called Annie, yeah. So I've been told I look a lot like my dad's family. Somehow they divided us up when we were little kids. Did they do that to you, trying to figure out which of your parents you resembled? Yeah, they divided us so that my brother John and I were the Knightons, and the rest of them were the Keoghs, because they look like my mother's family. And people have probably done that with you, asking who you resemble. We are now in the green of ordinary time. During this time, we're going to be hearing a lot of stories about Jesus. And when we hear these stories, the stories always point to the one that he resembles, his father, the one who sent him. So think about that on this Father's Day. And later come up and guess which one is my dad. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went on his way, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee and entered into Gentile territory, the land of the Gerasenes. Jesus shows his power over evil, demonstrating that nothing, not even demonic forces, can stand in the way of his ability to restore a person to health and community. And even when a community rejects him, he leaves someone as a witness to remind them of what he has done and what he is capable of doing. Just before our passage today, Jesus demonstrated his power to the disciples. As they were crossing the Sea of Galilee to get over to the territory of the Gerasenes, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. A violent windstorm came upon the lake, and the boat was filling with water. The disciples woke Jesus up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and all became calm. And Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" And they asked each other, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water?" And they obey him. And as he stepped out onto the land, they were approached by a man possessed by demons. Imagine the setting, a place of uncleanliness, a place of tombs and swine and demons. And here comes a man who has not worn clothing in a long time, who does not live in a house but in the tombs. He is clearly not in his right mind. He has unnatural strength, able to break the chains and shackles that the people of the city use to try to restrain him. And perhaps his wrists and his ankles still bear the mark of these restraints. Jesus calls the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and a spirit responds in the man's voice. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." And Jesus asks for the man's name, and the demons, speaking through him, answer, "Legion," a term that refers to a Roman battle force of 4,000 to 6,000 men. A vast number of demons possess this man. This is a man ostracized from his community, which is unable to contain and control him. He lives in a place of death. His human dignity is gone. His ties to the community are gone. Even his name is gone. The demons beg Jesus not to send them back into the abyss, but to be allowed to enter the large herd of swine feeding nearby. And Jesus gives them permission to enter the swine. And the demons come out of the man, enter the swine, and the swine enter into the lake and were drowned. Can you imagine that scene? The swineherds ran into the surrounding community, and people rushed to see what had happened. And they saw an astonishing sight. Not only the dead pigs, but the man from whom the demons had gone, now dressed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus in the posture of a disciple. And their response? Not joy at the healing of the man, but fear at the presence of the divine. And probably fear at what else Jesus might do. And so they ask Jesus to leave. And the man who's been healed begs to leave with Jesus. But Jesus tells him to go home and declare how much God has done for him. And the man does just that, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus has done for him. We hear in this passage the power of Jesus, where not even a legion of demons can keep him from restoring a person to health and community. We know that Jesus is ultimately victorious over death itself, with the power to bring life from death. This is good news for all people who are willing to listen and accept that message of grace, mercy, and restoration. And the disciples, seeing this, probably asked one another, "Who is this that even the demons obey him?" Remember these words from our first lesson from Isaiah. "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me." The only ones who knew that Jesus was worth coming were the demons, who did not ask for him to come. The demons know who Jesus is and what he can do. The man who was healed neither sought out Jesus nor asked for healing, nor does it seem that it was even possible for him to do such. Yet he was found and healed. The Gentiles of the community neither sought out Jesus nor wanted what he offered. And although the man who was healed asked to stay with Jesus, Jesus tells him to remain to testify about all that God has done for him, foreshadowing the ministry to the Gentiles that we read about in the book of Acts. Tomorrow, this country celebrates the newest federal holiday, established only last year, Juneteenth. It marks the anniversary of the day that the news of the Emancipation Proclamation reached the people of Galveston, Texas. President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863, freeing the enslaved people in the states that had seceded and joined the Confederacy. But enforcement of the proclamation generally relied upon the advancement of Union troops. Even after Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia in April 1865, and the Civil War finally ended, slavery remained relatively unaffected in Texas. Enforcement of the Emancipation Proclamation, as I said, relied upon the advance of Union troops, and Texas had a low presence of Union troops as the Civil War came to an end. On June 19, 1865, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, the enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, finally learned that they were free. On that date, U.S. General Gordon Granger stood on Texas soil and read General Orders No. 3, "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free." But emancipation did not happen immediately for the 250,000 enslaved people in Texas. In some cases, slaveholders withheld this information until after the harvest season. In December of that year, slavery in the United States was finally abolished with the adoption of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. Think of those enslaved people in Texas finally learning that the freedom that they had yearned for was theirs. And think of their masters learning that these people who had been their property no longer belonged to them. Think of the rejoicing of those who were no longer bound in the shackles of chattel slavery. Think of the spirituals that arose from the people who finally had tasted freedom and never wanted to return to slavery. Those spirituals contained stirring words like these: "Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free." Or this one, used by Martin Luther King Jr. in his "I Have a Dream" speech: "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Think of the Gerasene man who tasted the freedom of healing and wholeness. Freed at last from the demons that kept him in bondage. Freed at last from the chains of evil. Freed at last to go into the world, to be part of community, to witness to all that God had done for him. The man who was healed had been in bondage by demonic forces, forces that caused him to live as no human being should live. Those in the Gerasene community who rejected Jesus were held in bondage by their own fear. Those who finally learned on Juneteenth that the Emancipation Proclamation had been held in bondage by the evils of chattel slavery. In our world today, people are still held in bondage, the bondage of sin and evil. They need to hear of the emancipation brought about by Jesus, that their chains are broken, that their shackles are released. Let us proclaim what God has done for us. Free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Amen.